Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. When did the revival that Joseph Smith speaks of in his history, found in the Pearl of Great Price, when did this really take place? We began looking at this last week, and we're continuing in this week, mainly because there is a portion in the fourth edition of Saints, sounded in every ear, and it covers the time period of 1955 to 2020. In chapter 10, it mentions Wesley Walters, who was a Presbyterian minister that happened upon some information that undermines the credibility of Joseph Smith's account, where he said it was in the spring of 1820 that this great religious excitement took place in the area where Smith was living at that time, which of course would be Palmyra, New York. When Richard Bushman, a Mormon historian, comes across Wes Walters' article that was printed in the Journal of the Evangelical Theological Society, he's very concerned and gets his friend Truman Matson involved, and they together see the seriousness of Wes Walters' research, and they convince, eventually, the church to give them a grant in order to send some scholars to the area to try and disprove what Wes Walters has discovered. They feel, as the book brings out, that what Wes Walters has done, if he's right, he's basically undermined the foundation of the Restoration, which would include, of course, the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So they send a group of scholars to the area, and now we're going to pick up the story at the bottom of page 179. This is what it says in the fourth volume of Saints.
In Utah, Truman Matson had nothing but good news for his committee researching the church's origins. Throughout the summer of 1968, historians had sent him updates from their research trips to the eastern United States. Thanks to the funding from the First Presidency, they were able to scour libraries and archives, locating historical documents and confirming important dates and facts. Quote, "It has been a great summer," end quote, Truman declared. He was confident that Latter-day Saint historians were now better prepared to respond to Wesley Walters' claims about the first vision. One of their most significant discoveries that summer was strong evidence of religious revival near Joseph Smith's home in 1820. Milton Backman, a professor of history and religion at Brigham Young University, observed that Joseph Smith had described the religious excitement in general terms without identifying any specific locations. This led Milton to believe that Wesley Walters had focused his research too narrowly on Palmyra. After spending weeks combing through historical records in western New York, Milton discovered that a cyclone of religious fervor had indeed passed through the region around Palmyra in 1819 and 1820, just as the prophet Joseph described in his 1838 first vision account. Over the next few months, Truman and other historians worked on articles about their findings. He wanted to publish all the research together in an issue of BYU Studies, an academic journal published by Brigham Young University.
Now, let me go back to that previous paragraph, Eric, where it says, after spending weeks combing through historical records in western New York, Milton discovered that a cyclone of religious fervor had indeed passed through the region around Palmyra in 1819 and 1820, just as the prophet Joseph described in his 1838 first vision account. I think that's a little misleading. I think that's quite a stretch the way it's describing what Joseph Smith actually said. You see, they're arguing that Wes Walters had focused his research too narrowly on Palmyra. Well, maybe we ought to read what Joseph Smith actually says in his account that's found in the Joseph Smith history. This would be volume one. And we start in verse 3. It's the top of the second column. What does it say there?
My father, Joseph Smith Sr., left the state of Vermont and moved to Palmyra, Ontario, now Wayne County, in the state of New York when I was in my 10th year or thereabouts. In about 4 years after my father's arrival in Palmyra, he moved with his family into Manchester in the same county of Ontario.
So the question needs to be asked, when did the Smith family move to Palmyra? The records seem to show that they rented a place in 1817, and they were there for about 4 years, around 1821. So 1817, around 1821, and Joseph Smith is using some round figures here too. I was in my 10th year or thereabouts. Then he goes on to verse 5 to say something that I think is often overlooked by many people who read this account.
Sometime in the second year after our removal to Manchester, there was in the place where we lived an unusual excitement on the subject of religion.
Let me stop you there. Sometime in the second year after our removal to Manchester. Now, Manchester, if you go there today, there's Palmyra at the top, you might say. You go south, there's a highway near Palmyra, and there's a highway near Manchester. It's right in that area right there. That's about 6.7 miles between the top of that road down to the highway where they say Manchester really begins. Now, we know from tax records that Joseph Smith Sr., he bought a 100-acre farm, and he was paying taxes on it, and this was in 1822, but he doesn't move to that area because there's no house there until 1823, we know that, but there was a house that was eventually built there. Now, let's say, after the removal to Manchester, this would be 1822 when they moved to Manchester. And you have to add 2 years to that because he says sometime in the second year after our removal to Manchester, there was in the place where we lived. See, that's key. And I think that's what's being overlooked here in this book because they're accusing Walters of being too narrow in his research. And they're saying, well, Joseph Smith was kind of vague. No, he's really not because he says in the place where we lived. This is the area that we're talking about. We're not talking about a huge swath of land circling Palmyra. And even if we were, big deal. Okay, you can have religious excitement in all these other towns, and there were religious excitement. It was known as the burned over district because of the alleged revival fires that were going on. You can have Methodist revival. You can have Baptist revival. You can have Presbyterian revivals. But how often do you get Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterians combining in a revival coming to a close because there was a disagreement over where the multitudes of converts were going to attend regularly? You can't say that about all these other revivals that they think they're discovering here and say that's what Joseph Smith was talking about. He says there was in the place where we lived an unusual excitement on the subject of religion. Then it goes on to say it commenced with the Methodist, but soon became general among all the sects in the region of country. Indeed, the whole district of country seemed affected by it, and great multitudes united themselves to the different religious parties. And he mentions some were contending for the Methodist faith, some for the Presbyterian, and some for the Baptist. Are we to assume that happened in all of these smaller revivals that these guys are pointing to? Of course not. So I think this is a bit misleading when it talks about Truman Matson had nothing but good news for his committee researching the church's origins. I would say that is not good news at all unless you want to get away from what Joseph Smith specifically says.
Joseph Smith gives too much information here for us. I mean, in verse 14, we know exactly when this is supposed to have taken place. Verse 14 of Joseph Smith History, Chapter 1, in accordance with this, my determination to ask of God, I retired to the woods to make the attempt. It was on the morning of a beautiful, clear day, early in the spring of 1820. So we have our date here. This has to happen in 1820. And yet in verse 5, he's saying it's the second year after they had moved to Manchester. Well, that's not before 1820.
No, but when is it? 1824. And why is that important, folks? Because the revival that takes place in this area in 1824 seems to fit the description that Joseph Smith gives about the Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterians coming together and the conflict that happened towards the end of this revival. We know that revival began in the fall of 1824 and goes on into 1825. You might argue, maybe Joseph Smith just had a memory lapse and misses it. Is it really that easy? No, it's not that easy. And the reason being is you've got that angel showing up in 1823 who calls himself Moroni. If Moroni shows up in 1823 and the revival doesn't begin till the end of 1824, you've got the angel showing up about a year or so before the first vision. The LDS Church is never going to change those dates, so they are continuing to mislead people on this. And this is what bothers me about this paragraph in this book, Eric.
Well, again, Wesley Walters writes his article in 1967. Now we're seeing why these historians are very upset, because Wesley Walters is opening up information that they had never looked into. So they're having to rush around trying to fix this. And what are they going to do? They're going to take their research and they're going to put it into a volume of BYU Studies. In fact, let me read on page 181 the rest of this account. On page 181 at the bottom, it says, in the spring of 1969, the research conducted by Truman's committee appeared in BYU Studies. The issue presented the most up-to-date information on the first vision and provided solid historical support for Joseph Smith's testimony. Leonard Arrington and James Allen, two members of the committee, summarized the existing articles and books published on early church history. Milton Backman penned an article about his research into religious activities near Palmyra, and Dean Jesse, an archivist for the Church Historian's Office, prepared an article about Joseph Smith's first vision accounts. Other articles treated similar topics. Aside from their value in defending the faith, Truman believed the essays showed the value of saints working together to gain a more complete understanding of the history of the Restoration. He noted that many church members had letters, diaries, and other documents in their possession that could be of immense use to historians.
Let me stop you there, Eric, because I have to chuckle at that last sentence you just read. He noted that many church members had letters, diaries, and other documents in their possession that could be of immense use to historians. Talk about a worthless sentence. Unless, of course, he's talking about perhaps letters, diaries, and other documents that verify that there was a revival that took place in the spring of 1820. Who cares if there's letters, diaries, and other documentation around the area? Does it verify what Joseph Smith claims? Does it go along with the dates that we have regarding where the Smith family was living at the time, and also takes into account the time period that Joseph Smith himself gives?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism from a biblical perspective.